As we're aware, the governing principle for sharing in the rounds in a Logopraxis life group meeting is to keep crosstalk to a minimum. The need for our person to be heard is something that our culture places a lot of value on, but it needs to be realized that in Logopraxis we encourage a mode of being together that is counter-cultural. We seek to work, and that involves being conscious of our internal states when we are participating in a meeting. So as we enter into the exchanges in a Logopraxis life group, there is a need to bring a level of awareness that we don't usually have in ordinary life. So what this means in a Logopraxis context is that effort is being made not to be person-centered, but word-centered, and have this mode of being served as the basis for cultivating a sense of spiritual community. We come together to experience collectively the operation of the word through what passes between people as they share their direct experience of the text working in their individual lives. Every Logopraxis life group meeting offers its participants a gift. And that gift is the opportunity through our exchanges to live through the word and have it live through us. It's an opportunity for the 1 to 2 hours that we are in our life group over the 2-week session cycle to be with others in a different way. So it needs to be realized that an effort is required if we are to leave our habitual ways of being at the door and enter into what can become a truly sacred space. So in John 15:5, we read that, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." To live through the word and to have it live through us to make the Lord visible in our midst is the very core of what Logopraxis is. When we realize this, it makes a demand on every participant to be present and awake to the principles that govern being together in this way. The physicist David Bohm, in his essay on dialogue, points out that the word dialogue is Greek in its origin from dia, meaning through, and logos, meaning word. So dialogue literally means through the word. It was a delight to read Bohm's essay and discover that the method he advocates for dialogue carries so many parallels with how we try to be with others in our own Logopraxis exchanges. And for very similar reasons, although without any direct spiritual overtones. However, the principles he identifies as crucial to meaningful dialogue have a universal quality to them that points to their spiritual origins. The Lord said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." And that's found in John 15:7. The presencing of the Lord in our midst is a creative activity on the part of the Lord, who is constantly coming into being. His presence becomes accessible to our awareness as each practitioner's experience of the word is woven together with every other participant's experience through what is exchanged in the dialogue. What arises in the collective experience of the Lord is an experience of a church, not as a static representation, but as a dynamic living entity. What is received through one's work is offered as a gift from the Lord to the life group. And this is the bread and wine that nurtures and sustains the living experience of the Lord being made visible in our midst. The Lord said, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." And that can be found in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 56. All we have to bring is what the Lord has given to us through our work with the Word. What we bring is not ours. We don't own it. What this means is that when the gift is offered, it is let go to be picked up by those hearing in whatever way that supports their spiritual life. It could well be that the gift that is received is something very different from the gift that was offered from the giver's point of view. And that's okay. If a receiver comments on what they have received and their comments don't align with what was originally said, we may feel a need to correct them to ensure that we have been heard properly. This is not necessary. Dialogue in a logopraxis context has nothing to do with our person being heard. It's a difficult thing to hold to the principle that others are not here to validate our persons or the proprial need to be at the center of everything. Dialogue is all about the word being central, and as the Lord is the word, he is the one managing everyone's states and apportioning what is offered in accordance with the spiritual needs of each participant. We need to be awake to our process in our exchanges. It is a work that we cannot perfect, but what's important is to be in the effort. If we can be in the effort to be more conscious in our exchanges, we open a way for the Lord to be more fully present and experienced as such. So here's an illustration from the work The Apocalypse Revealed, number 875, that illustrates that the gift received is not always the same as the gift given. And it's subsection 9, and it's Swedenborg speaking. After that, I went down the steps from the Temple of Wisdom and went walking in the garden, and I saw some people sitting under a laurel tree eating figs. I turned aside to them and asked them for some figs, which they gave me. And lo, the figs in my hand changed into grapes. Seeing my astonishment at this, the angelic spirit said to me, "The figs in your hand changed into grapes because figs, owing to their correspondence, symbolize goods of charity, and so of faith in the natural or external self, whereas grapes symbolize the goods of charity and faith in the spiritual or internal self. So because you love spiritual matters, this therefore has happened in your case. For in our world, everything happens and comes into being, including also transformations in accordance with correspondences."